The Lord Jesus was coming to the very end of His earthly ministry. For over 3 years He had walked through the land of Israel, demonstrating to all His credentials as the Son of God and Israel's Messiah. Initially, He met some very minor resistance from the religious leadership in Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were questioning, because there had been other false messiahs who had come and gone in years previous to that, and that in their thought this was just another one of them. But as Jesus demonstrated His claims of being the Son of God through His miraculous abilities and gained a following that became quite substantial, the Pharisees became threatened. And because they were threatened, they became threatening. And there was always a controversy, a clash between the Lord Jesus and the religious leadership. And it was one of those deals where my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts idea of the Pharisees. They were convinced that they were doing what was right, that they were the servants of God, and they needed no one to criticize or instruct them. In fact, they were the instructors of Israel, not this, as we studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning, this one born of fornication. And I don't know if the term can actually be applied, but very possibly Jesus was becoming increasingly frustrated with them. Now, I hesitate on using the word frustrated because I'm not too sure deity can be frustrated. But in the human sense of the word, I can understand here were the people that He loved intently that were constantly refusing Him. And He was trying desperately to reach them with the realization that they might come to the realization of who He was. And finally one day, He decided to put forth a parable to them. And the parable went this way. There was a man who had two sons. And he said to his first son, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And his son said, "No, ain't going to happen." But fortunately, as a little bit of time went on, he repented and went and did the will of the father. He came to the second son and he said the exact same word, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And the second son, "Yes, I will go, sir." But he never did. The second son was like the Pharisees, giving outward recognition and respect, but not doing the will of the Father. For you see, the Father's will for all is that they would recognize and believe on the one who He had sent. That would be the Lord Jesus. And these Pharisees refused to do that. Absolutely refused. Respectful or have an outward appearance of decency and respect and religiosity, but unbelieving to the core. And it broke the Lord Jesus' heart. Unfortunately, that was not the first time that had happened in the nation of Israel. In fact, it had happened many times previous to that. Which brings us to our study in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to begin reading at verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18. "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest." Interesting, the word tempest there is a word that can be translated with a hurricane force wind. "And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." Now, what the author of the letter here is doing is taking these readers back to a little bit of Old Testament history. The children of Israel had come out of Egyptian bondage They had crossed the Red Sea. They had traveled a little ways into the wilderness. And God had called apart Moses to come up onto Mount Sinai and there receive the Ten Commandments, the law that would govern how the redeemed should live and consequently worship God. And while he was up there, these things happened. According to verse 18, the mountain burned, just like as Moses had stood before God at the burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. Here, this mountain was on fire, and the mountain was not consumed. There was blackness and darkness and this gusty wind, and it was a terrifying, terrifying scene. There was a sound of a trumpet. Now, I don't know if that exactly means that there was the actual sound of a trumpet or a sound that had the qualities of loudness of a trumpet and clarity. I'm not exactly sure, but nonetheless, there was this sound and the voice of words. They could hear speech, but they didn't quite understand it, I don't believe. But it was so terrifying that they were begging Moses to ask God to stop speaking. They could not endure that which was commanded. And this scene was so terrifying that God had said that it was so sanctified that if an animal would come through and touch the mountain, it had to be killed. And the same applied to them. Keep your finger here. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want you to see what God said in His own commentary about the reaction of the people. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Now, understand, and let me give you a little background real quick. Deuteronomy. The word literally, deuteros is second and nomos is law. It's the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy is restating what happened as the children of Israel had come out and just gone into the wilderness. Now they have, because of their failure at Kadesh Barnea, they have wandered for 40 years. They are now ready once again to enter into the promised land. And Moses is restating the law. He's reminding of them of what God has bound them to. And he goes back and says, remember what happened 40 years ago. These words, the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God hath shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. And I think the he there is referring to God. We know that God really is out there. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? We've been fortunate up to now. God's been gracious unto us. But boy, this keeps going on. It's not going to last. Go thou near, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Yes, Dad, I'll go and work today in your vineyard. That was about 1400 B.C., a little over 1400 years before Jesus tells this parable. Look at the commentary, verse 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Put this in parentheses. But I know it ain't so. That's the gist of it. God says, I hear what they say. Moses, you go up there. You listen to God. We can't handle this. He seems to be all right with you. You come down. You tell us what He says. We'll do everything. And he came down with the two tables of stone. And before he even got down there, they had broken all 10 commandments. They go out a few days more into the wilderness. They send out the spies at the command of God to enter into this promised land. And the spies come back and said, we can't do that. And they blew it. Just like the son who said, yeah, I'll go, and didn't do it. I was thinking about that parable in Matthew chapter 21 about these two sons. And I said to myself, you know what? Both of those sons, at least for a time, had an objection to doing what God had or what the Father had told them to do. I wonder what their objections really were. So I let my crazy mind wander, as I usually do. And I came up with a couple of possibilities. They looked out and they said, oh my goodness, man, this sun is hot. If I go out there and work in that vineyard today, I'm going to roast. I'll probably pass out because it's so hot out here, or it's so humid out here. Tomorrow it's supposed to be nice. I'll just wait till tomorrow. Or maybe it was the opposite. Oh, look how cloudy it is. I heard on the Jerusalem AccuWeather that they're calling for rain later on. If I go out there, I'll probably get drenched. And if I get drenched, I'll probably catch pneumonia. And then what good will I be? But it's supposed to clear by evening, so tomorrow's a better day. Maybe it was, yeah, I'd like to go out and work. I have no problems doing what you're doing, but Dad, I've already made other plans. Me and the boys are going to get our chariots together and we're going to go down to the Colosseum and have a little chariot race. Or we're getting our lyres and harps together and we're going to have a jam session or some other thing. Or, got a hot date tonight. I can't work now. Just think how I'd smell like grapes if I go out there, and that's not a good idea. Tomorrow, though, all that stuff will be past. Or maybe that wasn't the problem. It was when he said, son, go work today. And the son said to himself, you know what? I am a son. I'm not a slave. We have slaves. Slaves can do that stuff. It's beneath the dignity of the son to do that. Besides, I've never had any real training in picking grapes. Not sure how to do it. Why not let somebody who's trained and an expert at it would be more efficient in time, and I could do other things where I have some expertise. Or, yeah, I've heard Dad say this 1,000 times. Dad's getting up there, and Dad just doesn't know what he's talking about anymore. Dear sweet guy, I love him to death. But he doesn't know what's going on, at least as much as I do. Now, maybe one of those things, maybe not, was the opinion of the first son, and fortunately he repented and went and worked in the vineyard. The second son maybe realized those things after he said, okay, Dad, I'll go. But Israel had the same things. I want you to go in and possess the land. Well, maybe not today. You know, if we wait till tomorrow, we can take them by surprise. Go work. That's fighting. We can't fight. We're not trained. Maybe we can get somebody else to do it. I know, let's hire the Amalekites. And all kinds of excuses for not heeding the voice of the Father. Now these Hebrew Christians, and I believe they were Hebrew Christians, genuinely saved people, were suffering some type of tribulation. And rather than progressing on and doing the will of God in their life day in and day out, they were thinking, let's go back to this Old Testament stuff where we're real familiar. And the writer is saying, you mean you're going to go back to where the people stood at the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain, and basically there were signs posted all around it saying, no trespassing, stay away. A mountain that quaked and shook and burned with fire. A voice that came out of that was so terrifying, you were saying, don't do it anymore. Does that sound encouraging? Is that what you really want to do? When consider what you've been called to. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. 18, verse 18 says, you are not come. Verse 22 says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Man, consider this. You had, back there, it was Mount Sinai, a real mountain that you could touch, physical. You are come to Mount Zion. Spiritual place. Mount Zion in Scripture was a place of blessing for the nation of Israel, not a place of judgment, which the law spoke of. You are come unto the city of the living God. Now, not that God wasn't living in the Old Testament, but a God who is giving life as compared to a God that gave the law that brought death. You want to go back to death when He's given you life? You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, a place where God is enthroned and ruling in the hearts of people, to an innumerable company of angels. The word innumerable company comes from a Greek word which we get our English word myriad from, just a whole bunch of them. And the angels were the ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Do you know what they were saying? Let me help you accomplish the will of God. Draw close to God. Mountain, stay away. You are come to the general assembly and church of literally the firstborn ones. It's plural. Jesus was the firstborn son, but in that we are united with Him, we have the same position. Now remember, firstborn doesn't necessarily mean born first. Isaac was the firstborn son of Abraham, but Ishmael was born first. It is a position of honor, of rank. And in that we are united to Christ by the Holy Spirit, the same honor that Christ has before the Father, we have with Him. Whereas back in the Old Testament, it was Moses and then Aaron and the priests and the Levites and everybody else. There was a ranking. You've come to the church of the firstborn, which literally are enrolled. Their names have been enrolled in heaven. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. There were only names written in a temple in Jerusalem in the Old Testament. To God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. How many men were made perfect in the Old Testament? Zippo. But now you're in a place, in a company of people who have been declared justified by God, righteous in His sight, and made perfect in standing. And you want to go back to that? Moses was a great guy, but he feared and trembled before the Father. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, was exactly like him. And the blood that Abel sprinkled that brought fellowship had to be done over and 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 over again, where Christ's blood was once offered on Calvary's cross, and it was finished. You want to go back to that? Put in parentheses, are you nuts? We don't want to do what the Father says. See, not only did it happen back in the days of Moses and the children of Israel, it happened in 33 AD with the Lord Jesus and the Pharisees, and now it's happening once again with these Hebrew Christians who are saying, I'd like to serve you. I really think we should go, but now, maybe tomorrow or the next day or maybe somebody else. Look at the exhortation, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse them that spake on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Moses came down from the mountain and he spoke, and if any man disobeyed what Moses said, there was divine justice in stoning. If you think that's bad, do you think it's going to get any better when the one who came down from heaven speaks and you disobey and neglect? Whose voice then shook the earth? Fire on the mountain. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken remain. What are you saying here? Is back in the Old Testament, a mountain that can be touched, physical, it shook. The Old Testament stuff had been done away with. Now we're talking about that which came down from heaven. Not only shook the earth, but shook up heaven. A sacrifice on Calvary's cross that was done once and for all. And that's it. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Not like the mountain. Not like the country that they had to forfeit in time because they disobeyed. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. And the word godly fear there has the idea of discernment, of making sure that what we do is absolutely right. Do you know why? For our God is, and in the Greek text there's the word also. I don't know why the King James doesn't translate it, but it's there. For our God also is a consuming fire. Just like the God that spoke on the mountain that consumed things, He's the same God today. Don't think that you can say, yes, Father, I'll go, sir, and then get out of sight and say, maybe I'll go tomorrow. Conditions will be better tomorrow to do the will of God. No, I don't have to do the will of God. Somebody else can do the will of God. I've got better things to do. Or somebody else can do them better than me. Or maybe God really didn't mean it. He does. All right, I'm leaving preaching and going to meddling. What's God speaking to your heart that you haven't accomplished yet? Son, go work today in my vineyard. Let me give you a a couple of things he might be speaking to some of you about. Maybe not. I think church membership is important in the eyes of God. I'll get around to it tomorrow. Now, I understand there is a time and an appropriate time for doing things. But some of you have been putting it off for years. Baptismal service is coming up. I trusted Christ, but I don't want to get in that water. I don't want to get my hair wet. I'm looking for Lisa. Lisa Coco, unfortunately, the last baptismal service, I didn't quite have her moved over far enough, and when I put her back, I hit her head on the step back there. Now, folks, I have learned from that. But baptism is a commandment of God. Son, go work today. I really got to start having some type of devotional life. Well, I'll start reading my Bible tomorrow. I'll start having a prayer time next week. Oh, that 1 year Bible reading plan. We're already over a week into the new year. I'll never get it done. I'll wait till next year. That'll do it. There's an area of ministry that the Lord's been speaking over and over again to my heart, and I really should get after it, but I don't know if I can do it. I might squish the grapes. Well, they're going to get squished anyway. There's something I got to put out of my life. But I'm enjoying it too much today. I'll do it tomorrow. Son, go work today. For you see, even if you go tomorrow, you've disobeyed the Father. He didn't say go tomorrow. He said go today. And our God is still a consuming fire. Don't touch the mountain. It's not a pleasant experience. The God who says, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," wants to draw you just as he wanted to draw the nation of Israel as a mother hen gathers her chickens under her wings. He wants you close by his side. But if you're going to live in rebellion to his will, it's not a very pleasant place to be. Oh, one other thing. I really should trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I'll do that tomorrow. Now, folks, let me tell you that if you're not sure about the claims of Christ and what salvation is, don't make a statement about trusting him just to please the pastor. That's actually the worst thing you could do. Because you will leave here today saying, "Well, I did that," when you really didn't. As the old saying goes, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And if you make a vocal statement about Christ like the Son did, "Yes, Father, I will go," and really didn't mean it, you'd probably be worse off tomorrow than you are today. But if you know about what Christ is claiming, and the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, if you understand that, don't put it off till tomorrow. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I cannot say what your will is for each and every one in the hearing of my voice this morning. I know what you have spoken to me. I know how I need to respond. But I believe your Spirit probably has spoken to everyone in this assembly this morning. Maybe it's only a minor thing, but there's something that maybe you want to change. There's some area that you want to accomplish in each and every one of our lives. And you want to do it today. Lord, may we be faithful to respond by saying, "Yes, Father, I will go," and then do it. Draw us close to your heart, and may we enjoy the fellowship that only you can provide as we rest upon your bosom. In the very precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Patrick.